So I'll start and I'll make actually just a quick introduction to two things, the Sysmo OctSim and Atmel Start. And yes, Atmel is not dead by far. So how did it start? Harald already presented Osmo RemSim, and the idea of Osmo RemSim is to connect lots of SIM cards to lots of modems. Now, you need somehow to have lots of SIM cards. And there are not a lot of devices which actually support lots of SIM cards. They are SIM boxes, but they are very expensive, they are not easy to find, and they are always having a proprietary protocol, so it's not very convenient. So if you have 32 SIM cards or so on. Particularly because there is a USB standard called USB CCID, which actually defines how to talk to smart cards or SIM cards. And using just one USB device, you can have up to 128 smart cards. So why not use this one? So we looked around, or actually Harald looked around, to find if there are such devices with 128 SIM cards using the USB CCID profile, and there is none. The most we could find is actually this device, which has 5 card slots. So these are actually behind a cover. You have 3 here, then you have 1 here, and 1 on the side. And that's the most we could find with using the USB CCID profile. And even this one isn't very good, because if you look at the CCID profile, it tells you a lot about what the capabilities, for example. So here the interface class tells you it's CCID, but afterwards it tells you which voltages to support, only 5 volt, although you can have 1.8 volt, 3 volts, the protocol, the clock, you can have lots of clocks, up to 20 megahertz, so from 4 to 20 megahertz, this only supports 4 megahertz. And then the baud rate. The maximum baud rate is 300 bits per second. With SIM cards, you can go up to 3.4 megabits per second. And the last thing which isn't ideal is here this max busy slot is 1. So this means that you can only talk to 1 SIM card at a time. And actually, it is multiplexing the interfaces. You cannot talk to several at a time. So if you want now to have 128, you always have to multiplex between all of them. So because we didn't find anything which is capable of reading a lot of SIM cards, Sysmocom decided to build a device which is called the Sysmo OctSim, and the Oct in OctSim stands for 8 card slots, and that's the idea. So it's a USB device which implements the CCID protocol, so everything which, like PCSC tool, which is able to read smart cards can use this device. It has 8 card slots. They are not multiplex, so you can talk to all of them at the same time. To support all the voltages, you can have high bit rates. We didn't test up to very high bit rates, but should be capable. And most importantly, it must be stackable. So if you want more than just 8 card slots, you can stack the Sysmo OctSim, and then you can have even more, even just over this one USB CCID maybe. This is not implemented yet, but these were the ideas and these were the requirements for the Sysmo OctSim. Now, we need to find some kind of microcontroller which is able to have 8 SIM card slots without multiplexing, so 8 SIM card devices. And you talk to smart cards using the ISO 7816 protocol, and this is very, very similar to UART. So what you do in the beginning, whenever you design a product, you go through all the manufacturers of microcontroller, you go through the product finder, the parametric search, and you start searching who has 8 UARTs. So here, the idea was to click USB device, and as soon as you click USB device on the STM, or on the ST microcontroller website, you only see that the most they could support is 4 UARTs. So already there is no STM microcontroller supporting 8 UARTs with USB. Same for NXP, actually it supports, you can see 8 or 9 UARTs, but only 2 of them support the ISO protocol, even on the high-end ones. So no NXP. And then we landed on Microchip, which already still bought Atmel, and there we found one. There's actually several of them. And this is still an Atmel because you see 80 in the beginning. So Microchip bought Atmel, but they're still selling the Atmel microcontrollers, and I think they will keep the brand for a long time and keep the separation between the PICs from Microchip and the Atmel. So whenever you see Atmel in the beginning, it is microchip, but you think the brand of Atmel, and even the new ones. So the microcontrollers you see here are actually new. They are not produced by the ex-Atmel, which has been bought by Microcontroller, but really Microcontroller designed them. And then the SAM series is just that they are Cortex microcontrollers. And so we decided to pick this one because this is the only one which is able to speak with 8 SIM cards at the time. You could also have FPGAs, but we don't want to design our own core. We want to take a microcontroller which is capable of doing it. Yeah. Yeah. The other solution, if you really want to have a lot more SIM cards, would really be to have FPGAs and design your own core, but that's not the path we took. So this is the OctSIM, and this is how it looks like. So you can see, so this is the microcontroller we use. It's a SAM E54 with 8 slots. You can see 4 on top, which is the daughter board, and then if you look on the side, you can also see the other ones. So the idea is to have plug and play, so you can insert and inject them all the time with all the requirements. So here you have USB, you can have a USB over here. Here you have a CAN bus where you could, this is the CAN bus where you can actually stack the devices, and here the footprint, which is not there, is an Ethernet bus if you want to connect it over Ethernet. But for now, this is just not a prototype because it is working, but the software is not there. We can connect over USB and talk to the SIM card, but it's not USB CC-ID ready. The device is not being sold yet.
You say they're stackable, and so they appear as one single USB device with more slots?
That would be the idea, but that's not implemented now. Okay, but that's the goal, yeah. So you use the CAN bus with 2 megabits to talk to all the other one, and then you have one USB bus.
Another question.
Yeah, we are recording, so you can use this mic.
So you said that you wanted to use high speed, I think? Or is it high speed or full speed, this controller?
It's full speed. Yeah, it's only full speed.
Okay, question answered.
Yeah. So this device doesn't work, so you cannot play with it yet. But if you still want to play with the Atmel, I can recommend this development board by Atmel. It's quite packed, so it has the same chip, and we started developing on it. There's a typo in their documentation, but it's the SAM E54, which supports Ethernet. That's why there is an E instead of the D. And yeah, it has everything you need. The chip here, it has a quad SPI flash, it has Ethernet, it has the CAN interface, it has USB, it has micro SD slot, lots of IOs. And the two neat things that they are is it has an embedded debugger, embedded flasher. This is the USB debug you see here. And also you can do power measurements, really low power measurements, because it has a second microcontroller which is just there to actually let you measure how much power it consumes. And for €70, I think it's a pretty good development board, and it's almost the only development board which supports these chips. So we started with this one, and the problem with this is that before, when you wanted to develop with Atmel, you could use the Atmel Studio 7, which uses the ASF3 library, which supports all the microcontroller and provided you with a high abstraction layer for the microcontroller with all the code needed. The problem is that with this new series by Microchip, this microcontroller is not supported by Atmel Studio, and actually all the new ones are not supported anymore by Atmel Studio. That's a shame. Instead, what they decided to do is create a new IDE, which is called Atmel Start, with a new library, which is the ASF4. Which is a complete rewrite of the ASF3, but the ASF4 is only available on the Atmel Start website IDE. It's not available on the Atmel Studio anymore. And the idea of this talk somehow is just to tell you how the new microcontroller works and how Atmel Start works, so you don't waste time understanding how it works, because this is the only alternative there is to develop on these microcontrollers. Yeah, if you don't want to do everything, I'll show you a bit of alternative afterwards, but the idea, if you want to use a library which is supported, this is the only solution you have. So, here, this is how the website is. So there is no online offline ID anymore. Everything is online. You can, for example, here we will have And you can see it's pretty slow. Here we can start with looking at the examples, and they have a lot of example codes, which is actually not bad. And I have to say that the code is okay. There's still a lot of smart card, sorry. The code is okay. There are still a lot of bugs because it's a bit new, but the support is not bad. And here you can already set which board you want to put on it for this example code. Then it loads everything like in IDE, but everything is web-based. And this will have some other problems. First, you see it's damn slow, and this is almost the fastest part. So this is how, once it finished loading, routing, everything, this is how it looks like. So you have the dashboard, which allows you to add the peripherals. So for example, here we only have one smart card, which uses this driver, the user driver. But if you want, you can add a lot of other drivers. So you have even middlewares. You can add the DAC, the CAN, and so on. So this is how you add your components. And once you add them, you can configure the basic things, on this page. The other part, which is quite important on this new microcontrollers, is the clocking system. They have a huge number of clocks, and every device can take a clock from almost anywhere. So on the left side, you have the clock sources, or the clock oscillators, which are actually creating the clocks. And you can already see you have 6 clock oscillators just for one microcontroller. And once you selected them, you feed them in what they call generic clock generator, and this allows you to subdivide or to create other references. For example, you're creating a 100 megahertz clock for the core, but not all the peripherals can be run at 100 megahertz. So you have to provide the other clocks here. This is what you see here. The main device is running at 12 megahertz, and now the smart card COM, which is the USART, is running at 3 megahertz. And it also has another clock. So you do this here. So one of the problems also is that they are trying to be intelligent somehow. And for example, if I use this digital phase loop, and I say I want to use a source for the PLL, the oscillator, it will tell me that this is not possible because, clock reference oscillator, close. Here, there is this warning sign. It will tell you that you cannot use this clock because it is above 2 megahertz, and the maximum clock you can use for this PLL is 2 megahertz. Now, you do have a setting for the clock divider here, so if you use 2, which is power of 2, it's slow enough. The problem is that the IDE doesn't know this clock divider, doesn't interpret it. And not only that, because there is this warning, you cannot export your project. So you cannot have the code which is working theoretically out of this IDE and compile it yourself. So a lot of things is you have to do whatever works and then change locally. And it's rare that you have the sync between the configuration, which is on the website, and the actual codes because of lots of these small mistakes, because the start website is not complete yet. You can still file tickets, and I filed a ticket with that 4 months ago. It's still not fixed. But this is one of them. So then you have also the pin mux, which where you can select all the pins, what they do, which you see from almost new IDEs. And then here on the right, once it's loaded, you have all the outputs. So this is nice for a start. So, yeah.
What is the format of exported data? Is it?
This is what I will show you now. So and finally, because it's an IDE, you don't have these tabs. You can here click on view code, and yeah, you have to wait until you can view the code, because it's generating a preview. So the code is existing, but it's generating the preview. The configuration is wrong, so I have to fix that. So even that's here, disable this. Now you should be able to view the code. Yeah, and you see it's always this. You just click one thing, you have to wait 30 seconds for one thing, and then you start the preview. So I think the idea of Atmel Start is really just you have to use this website to start, but as soon as you can, go out of it. So just take the base configuration and do everything yourself. And there you have the code. And it's it's not badly done, the code which you download. So this is where you go to export project. And on the export project, you can see you can export the code for Atmel Studio. But Atmel Studio doesn't have the library itself. It's just that you can compile it under Atmel Studio and all the other compilers which you have, even GCC. So you have a make file, and we'll download it. So we again have to wait until it generates the code. And at some point, we will have downloaded it. CD download. Yeah, now it's finished. Unzip. So it's called ATZIP or IT something, but it's just a zip file with all the information which is in there. Smart card, yeah. Smart. Damn it, you don't know. ATZIP, yeah. It's just a zip file which contains the configuration and the code itself. Smart. Yeah. Then you just go into GCC, and surprisingly, you just type make, and it works. So the make file is not badly done. I didn't try the other compiling environments, but at least you can download the code, just type make if you have the ARM non-ARB compiler, and it works out of the box. And then you can flash it using the embedded debugger from the thing. So it's not bad, and the code is not bad, but you have to use the Atmel start to start. Another pain point. So this is Atmel start. Another pain point is that you cannot download all the ASF4 libraries for all the components. Every time you add with Atmel start, every time you add on the dashboard a software, it will add the code for this library into your archive. But there is no way to download the complete ASF4 library with all the peripherals. Yes and no. this is another point. The problem is that you don't really know which one it's on. So you have, the problem is you can only add if you have the peripheral for it on your chip, and then there are several different drivers for the peripheral. So you don't have on one chip enough peripheral that you can add all the codes, all the different drivers for all the combinations. You can automate. So there will. I'll talk about that later. But yeah, the idea is so. But just to tell that the idea is that you just add your code and you cannot download everything. The other problem is then when you take your project back, you want to add now a new peripheral because you're extending it. You have to download. You have to load your configuration file and then add the new driver. Ah, yeah. I'll show it here. It's cd vim 8 atmel start dot 8. No. How is it called again? There is an 80 start file somewhere in here. Vim atmel start dot 80 start. Atmel. Atmel start config. So this is actually corresponding to what you are configured on the interface. It doesn't have to match to your code actually, but this is what's on the interface. So what I do is I cheat very often. I put something on here, but in the code it's a bit different. But this is what gets. So if you want to add a new peripheral, you have to load your Atmel start back on this interface again, add the peripheral, and then re-export it. The problem is that it's not always backwards compatible. So whenever you have your Atmel start, it first forces you to use the new libraries. So when you export, it exports with all the new libraries. So whatever you changed, or if you wanted to use something different, it's completely screwed. And also, it's not always backward compatible. So at one point, I wasn't able to load my configuration anymore. I had to create everything back again, or I had to cheat with the Atmel start because they changed something. So don't expect, if they do it right, don't expect that in 3 years, your same project will be able to be loaded on there without fixing by hand or without reading the manuals and so on. So pain point, but just be warned. So about automating it, yes, somebody already automates. So there's a GitHub Adafruit ASF4, which actually just uploads the configuration, downloads the code. And this is exactly what I'm using to actually have version control on this ASF4 and do whatever it is, because they don't. So they probably have version control on the backend, but you see nothing out of it. The only thing you can see here, load please, is if you go to help and support. Now here, version. Here you see the version which you are using, and then you have a change log. But that's all they give you as information. So now I'm monitoring this page to see whenever there's a version change, and then I'm uploading to get all the code for at least my microcontrollers. I didn't automate it for all the microcontrollers, but at least for my microcontrollers, I can see, okay, this is the new library, they added this, 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 this is the other code. So this is one of the small tricks. Now, you can also bypass completely the ISF4 library, and if you're hardcore, and probably not a bad idea, it's just to take the data sheet, you have all the, it's quite well documented, you have all the registers, what they mean, and they actually provide you with the CMSys library. This is for the Cortex-M family, you have the definitions for the core, and what they call the device family pack, which is actually the definition for all the registers for this microcontroller. This is what you see, again, here. This is when you export project, this is what you see, the device pack information, this is what you see here. So you have to download these two things, and then you have the definitions for all the peripherals. You don't have any functions and so on, but at least you have the definitions, and then you do everything by hand yourself. This is maybe a bit more stable or an alternative to AtmelStart, but if you want to use the ISF4 library, you're forced to use AtmelStart, the web IDE. And here. Yeah, and other things also. This microcontroller doesn't come with a bootloader. There is no bootloader in the ROM. The only way, and there is no JTAG anymore. They only have serial wire debug with the two pins, and you have to flash it with this. So I recommend to buy one of these cheap $2 ST-Link V2, which are just SVD microcontrollers, because they also have an STM32F 103, so it's a cheap development board, even if you want to play with STM devices, and you can flash SVD with that. Because there is no bootloader, which was previously Samba on all the previous Atmel chips, we decided to make our own for the Sysmo OctSim, but it is, you can generate for a lot of what is in ISF4, and this is the, yeah, just go on the Git from Osmocom, it's Osmo ASF4 DFU, and this is a USB DFU bootloader, as we do for almost all of the products, where you can flash your code using the standard DFU tool. And you can even lock the DFU bootloader in the microcontroller itself. But by default, there is no bootloader, which is a bit surprising. And now, yeah, now you're ready. You can completely develop on AtmelStart, you know how to use it. The documentation is not bad. If you go on the AtmelStart website, you just have to wait forever always to get some information, because it's a bit slow. And that's it. Any questions? Yeah, why? I don't know why.
It's like all the look at ST has Cube MX for ST, and it works, and you can download it. Let's copy it.
So, no comments.
So I mean, this is probably not necessarily related to the development you're doing, but I'm interested in what's going on with this idea of the web IDE, you know, and I'm also just noticing that, you know, when you switch back to that tab, you have this delay. Why is it doing that? Like, is there?
It's JavaScript. It just takes forever to run on a decent machine.
So there's processing going on locally.
Most of the things are locally, except when you add new drivers, it loads it on the back end. But most of the things are done locally.
So the code generation and that stuff is being done locally on
no? No, the code generation you still have to download from the website.
Okay, so this, I'm also wondering, did you happen to read any terms and conditions or anything when you started using this? Or what are they doing? Like, are they? I'm wondering where this is going in the industry. Like, are they? They're obviously logging everything that you do, and what, like, you know, this is this just? I have this sort of concern from the privacy, and I put my privacy kind of hat on and. Surveillance capitalism stuff. I'm thinking, like, why is a company wanting to know absolutely everything that you do or might want to do with their hardware? Why would they start doing this in the web, and rather than just allowing you to download an IDE and do it locally and do your own business on your own hardware?
I have no idea. Maybe because it's web and it's fancy. I didn't read the terms and conditions. Yeah, no, you don't need to be logged in. So you can do everything offline. And I don't know if they really how much they log. I just read the terms and conditions for the code itself. So it just tells you whatever you download, you are allowed to use it as much as you want and distribute it as long as you use it for microchip devices. But who wants to use this thing for other than microchip devices?
Sure.
Yeah. And then so there is the definitions for the CMCs and the Apache code, the STD library. So there are different licenses, but it is compatible with open source, so you can release it without problem. Then afterwards, what they do in the backend, how much they log, no idea.
I wouldn't necessarily have too much conspiracy theory about it. I just thought they probably were thinking what is the easiest way for somebody to create or to build an example project. I would assume that this is sort of the reason why. Because, I mean, you don't need to install something, and then you have to worry about all the different operating systems and variations and things and... So I think it's really just to lower the entrance barrier to get some working code on the devices. And the name Start also sort of implies, I mean, it's to get you started. It's not that this is going to be your, an IDE where you really do your development. It's just to generate some examples and some reference from which you then can do your actual development.
But then they could still make the full library available, which is just because, I mean, that they have this tool to, help you get LED blinking, fine, okay. But it'd still be nice if you could, or even if the example project included the full ESF4 download.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, I think, the usual problem with companies doing hardware is that they have absolutely zero clue about how to do proper software development. I'm not aware of any, I mean, please educate me if I'm wrong, I don't know of any microcontroller vendor that would have their driver reference whatever code just in publicly available Git repositories, including the entire change history. I think the only one who did that was Ixmos, and they stopped doing it a couple of years ago.
There are a couple of Chinese ones which are also doing it. For example, Nuvoto, everything is on their Git, and you can track all the different things.
So you're saying there is hope that once Chinese microcontroller vendors become more prevalent, that finally we will have proper revision control? That would be sad for the Western companies, but I would say they deserve it if that's the course of events.
I mean, okay, maybe you don't have full version control, but I mean, the ASF3 you can download the TI libraries, you can download them, including the old version, it's just the FTP.
Oh, yeah. Here you cannot download your own version, so really, the only way.
JSON project where you run it several times and it downloads basically every combination potentially of driver, and then they republish it on GitHub because they are allowed to redistribute it, so they do it. So.
Yeah, I do it only locally. I didn't publish anything because it's just easy and I don't want to mess around. But if some driver is broken on their thing, then and you are forced to use the new one. It's good that you still have a backup. So that's why I'm also doing it.
In the end, we certainly didn't choose that microcontroller because of this Atmel Start. and if necessary, we would have just, done everything from scratch. But I think the controller itself is actually rather, or this family of new controllers is rather nice to work with. I also actually like the fact that it's ROMless and you don't have to work around some buggy ROM loader that doesn't work reliable or whatever. So you can just have your own without having to have two bootloaders chaining, which is what we did in the past. That there's like the Samba internal loader and then we have another bootloader for DFU and then we have our application. So we can just skip the initial state of some strange ROM loader that makes assumptions about how you do your board that are not documented and so on. And as I said, yeah, I think the chip is rather nice to work with. And also I think actually, sure, there are bugs. Kevin had struggled a bit with some USB stack bugs in the ASF4 code. But apart, and of course, there's lots of layers of abstraction. But actually, I think in terms of the APIs, it's rather nice to use. And there's not always, but there's Doxygen documentation in the source code. So it's not too bad in terms of the actual code that is generated.
Yeah, I agree. The microchip, the microcontroller is not bad. The library is not bad. It's just that there is this kind of IDE which you have to know and which you have to take on you if you want to start with this project. Well, thanks.